Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda, and I want to wish you a happy October. And this month is full of very interesting energy with a theme of relationship. Now, this is partially because we are in Libra season, and Libra is all about how we relate to others. So this can be relationships with our partners, it could be friendships, business partnerships, any type of relationship, including how you are relating to yourself in all of it. Because how you relate to you is going to have a direct impact on how you relate to the world around you. So because we have this energy of relationship this month with so much focus on it, we have a lot of Venus energy throughout this month for various reasons. And if you want more information about the energy of the month and why this is so related to Venus energy, be sure to sign up for my newsletter at yewchi.com. That's yewchi.com. And you will get that information via email. And you'll also get access to 22 Days of Transformation, which is a free guided journey for you just as a gift. Now, today, what you will hear in this episode is Tiffany and I. My friend Tiffany and I started the Mind Body Energy Project, which I have spoken about here on Reiki Radio. And she and I recently did an episode that was all about relationships. And so I thought it would be appropriate to share that episode with all of you, especially if you haven't yet tuned into the Mind Body Energy Project. So you'll get a taste of our interactions, our exchanges, the information that we are sharing in the community that she and I are building. But again, also give you some insight around relationship and give you some things to think about in terms of your own. How are you showing up in your relationships, and how can you manage the energy of your relationships? We also talk about how Reiki comes into play, which is very interesting. So I hope that you enjoy the show and take some mental notes for yourself, because we're going to have a live discussion about relationships this Wednesday. Tiffany and I meet, we have a Facebook page, MBE Project. So if you come and join us Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 p.m. Eastern, you can share with us whatever comes up for you, your insights, your experiences, all things related to relationship energy. So get comfortable and enjoy the show. Okay, welcome to the Mind Body Energy Project. I am Yolanda.
And I am Tiffany.
And
I just want to say really quick.
Yeah.
Yolanda and I just did a recording for our Patreon. And it's early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we weren't expecting to do this right away. So you guys are getting a treat that normally only our our Patreons get, a special treat that our Patreons get, which is seeing us when we just wake up in the morning with no idea where things are heading. I don't even know what I look like. I think I just like pulled half of my hair back because I was like, that's too much.
Yeah, that's what I did. So, curly bangs and like buns in the back.
Yeah, so you're welcome, public. You get all of this.
Early morning glory.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the Patreons, just so you all know, depending on which thing you watch first, we have posted for you the how our perspectives impact mind, body, energy. And I have to say, I really enjoyed that conversation.
Because again,
we have no idea ever what's gonna come out of our mouths.
Right. And that again, this episode too, right now that we're recording our relationships, is gonna be another one of those too where we decided on a topic and a title, and we're just going to see what happens.
So this is part one. For those of you who are new to the Mind Body Energy Project, just so you know, what we do is we start with a topic, and then the following week we open it up to a community discussion where you can join us for a Facebook Live. And then in the third week, we just do something for our Patreons in the background that they have access to. So this is our new topic. So welcome, mm-hmm. and, you know, grab a paper and pen, jot down any questions, insights, so that you can join us next week and share.
If you're driving, just make a log in your brain.
Yeah, mentally log it. Yeah, good, good catch.
Yeah.
I forget that people listen to the podcast in the car and enjoy whatever. But you can also check us out on YouTube if you want to see
the what we look like first thing in the morning. All disheveled.
Yeah. You know, go to our YouTube
channel. It's not about the appearance. It's about the content.
Yes. Yes. We're all over the place.
Yep.
So you have options. And so how we're starting this out this week is talking about the energy of relationships. And before we started recording this one, we noticed or recognized like how interesting that we just moved into the energy of Libra. The sun is now in Libra, and Libra is a sign about relationships and how we relate to others. So we didn't even plan that.
Yeah.
It just happened to work out this way.
Do you want to tell them about the full moon too that we have right now?
Oh, and
how that relates to Libra?
Yeah, well, the full moon is today. The full moon is in Aries, although you all won't hear this until Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we'll still be like feeling the after effects of that.
Yeah. And at least you'll have validation for what went down 2 days ago. And you're like, why am I crazy?
Why am I feeling so emotional? Ah. Right. So the full moon right now is, the full moon is the opposite sign, which is Aries. And Aries energy is more connected with I and like how I identify. And also it's the energy of like leadership. It's ruled by Mars. So it's very like, you know, the energy of like action and what propels us forward. It could be tied to our anger and explosive energy because Mars is the god of war. So in a more positive note, we can really look at the energy of this full moon of like how we are identifying with ourselves in our lives, how we're showing up, the actions that we're taking in our life, but also with the sun being in Libra, also looking at how that is playing into how we relate to others. And if you want more information about the energy of the month, become an MBE insider, because we did a whole thing about the energy of this month, including the full moon. So
yeah, very informative and very fun for us to do.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. So I want to ask you first, when you hear this, like the energy of relationships, dun, dun, dun. Like,
I know that soundtrack
for you,
the soundtrack you put is exactly how I feel. What the energies of relationships. Well, one point is that I think that there's always going to be different types of energies, mm-hmm. you know, like just because you think you found your soulmate or like you think that you have a relationship with somebody, a sibling or a coworker that doesn't carry good energy, that there may be an underlying energy, but there's always going to be influx of different ones. Mm-hmm. And I guess specifically romantic relationships, we're always working towards that harmony, but to know that it's never going to be a straight line, it's going to be all over the place, you know, and you're in relationship, any type of relationship with another human being who has energetic sensitivities and is going to be in different places at different times too. And as consistent as somebody may express their humanness, it's still they're energetic beings as well. And it can be different from day to day, minute to minute. And that energy will reflect the connection of the two.
No, totally. And that, Tiffany and I noted in the last thing that we just recorded for the Patreons is that it's interesting to really recognize like our perspectives and how they shift and change within these interactions that we have with others. But what's also standing out in what you're saying is, again, this energy of the full moon and the sun, the Aries and the Libra energy, and how Libra is ruled by Venus, which is often connected with the divine feminine, and then Aries is ruled by Mars, often connected with the divine masculine energy. But really considering how both of these aspects, how they like play into how we relate to ourselves, because that ultimately is going to feed into how we relate to others, how we show up in relationship, what our projections are about how other people see us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all starts with
how we relate to ourselves. So I think one of the big things when we talk about relationship, a lot of people don't want to hear like, oh, you have to love you first and oh, you have to work on you. But the truth is the relationship you have with you is going to be what impacts your relationships with other people. So honey, you don't want to hear it.
I know it's true. And when you say that, you know, it feels like such a like cotton candy thing, you know, it's like, love yourself, you know, and we're like, you have to love yourself first. And it's become almost like so cliche. And again, cliches are cliches for a reason, right? But it's almost like to a point where it's just like people are sick of hearing because like, yeah, I know, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to love myself. I don't know what that means. And then we try to learn that experience through what we think is loving others. But unless we really truly understand it with ourselves, we're not going to truly understand it outside of ourselves.
Well, it reminds me of how a lot of times we become like dependent or even codependent of like when we feel like something is missing, we look outside of us to fill that void. And so like if you are not in the space of like deep level of self-love, which we all think we love ourselves because a lot of times we don't recognize how our self-criticism and all of these other aspects of us kind of beat us up in a way. So like when we have this craving of like, oh, I just want someone to like love me so bad, you may call that into your life because it's what you're seeking. But then there is the like the hazard of that, of then you may become so dependent on this other person loving you and filling you with the feeling of love that once they leave your life or something shifts and changes, there's this feeling of devastation because you didn't first work on it within yourself. So sometimes even in relationship, what we can recognize, what we feel we're lacking or seeking or we want so bad in another person, like that's a good indication to look at like, do I do that for myself? Like, you know, like, am I being sweet to me? Do I buy myself presents? Do I do things that make me feel loved and adored for myself? And then if someone else comes in your life and does the same, it's not like there was this missing element for you. It's just like a compliment, like the cherry on top.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times when we call that into our space, it's almost like we've called it in as a learning ground to understand how to treat ourselves. We can learn how to treat somebody else, but then we get attached to the fact that we do become codependent on, we become attached to this is what we have to do in order to be loved rather than looking at it as, oh, let me experience it outwardly so I can see what the actual actions I should be taking with myself.
Yeah. And that's a really good thing too. I mean, I don't know why it just popped in my head, like fairy tales, you know, because we all have these ideas of like what relationships should be, what they should look like. You know, we've been fed a lot of stuff about them, even from youth, like fairy tales and these types of things and the roles that we're supposed to play within them, even a lot of times based on our gender. So, and then we get into relationships and we often find they are nothing like what they said. And so then we have, you know, like these, all of these things, these opportunities to work through seeing our stuff. Now, but that's the thing is like, if you are in relationship, whether it's, and we're talking any kind, not just romantic, it could be with your friends. When you are in relationship with other people, you are often given so many opportunities to really recognize your own stuff and to see what pushes your buttons and to see the role that you're playing and like your patterns and all of these things. But when you are oblivious to you and like that internal work, a lot of times you feel like you're being beat up in relationships or like they're happening to you because you're not tuned into the role that you play or the energy you're showing up in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, I hear you because we miss those opportunities. I think when we get kind of swept up in that feeling of being beat up or just doing the same thing over and over again, how often do we hear like, oh, I always pick the wrong person. You know, well, picking the wrong person is giving you this ample opportunity to see what your stuff is and to really work with it, you know? But without, by not taking responsibility of that and working with it, you're still putting out the same energy. So you're going to keep drawing in that which will help you learn the lesson. But if you're not learning the lesson, you're going to relive it over and over and over again.
So that's even like a good thing, like paying attention to what you say. If you do say, I always choose the wrong person, or I always, whatever it may be, stop and consider why. Think about like, what is it about my point of view about me, or what am I possibly projecting, or what are the roles that I play? Like a lot of people who are caretakers and like healers, or like, you know, want to fix and help the whole world. A lot of them tend to call in people who need a lot of help. You know what I mean? And then they're like, why am I? Because you have taken on this persona and like are projecting out, like, let me help you, broken bird. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a caretaker and showing up, but it also, there's that other side, that balance of, are you nurturing you too? Yes. Are you just constantly in the state of, I have to give? Where are you not allowing yourself to be in reception? A lot of these things will like echo for you, or like, you know, show up for you in these exchanges of relationship. Relationships are like the best for learning.
Oh yeah, totally. Because the relationships we have are mirrors of ourselves. It's another human being that's having an experience that we're having, maybe not exactly the same experiences, but a human experience. So they're mirrors for us, you know, like I'm not going to have a relationship that's going to teach me anything with a tree. Mm-hmm. You know, I might have a tree I love to go sit underneath and like read at the park, but that's not going to teach me anything. It might.
The tree might teach you how to ground.
And also how to go through seasons. Yeah. How to shed and rebirth. Oh, yes.
The leaves fall and they regenerate. Look at all the things you learn.
Yeah.
What do you
say? I know. And as profound as they may be, they're going to be very consistent. Whereas what I was saying earlier, humans are not consistent.
Yeah.
And they're just going to give us this dynamic opportunity of learning about ourselves. They're reflecting exactly back what we're trying to achieve here too.
Yeah. And I want to point out that it's not that they just highlight what we need to work on. Sometimes in relationship to others, we also recognize like our strengths and like, you know, what our qualities are that maybe, you know, we really, really do resonate with. So it's not just the things that we need to work on.
Yeah.
When we relate to others, like we learn so much about ourselves, and sometimes even in exchanges with others, we learn things that we are able to do that we had no idea we were able to do. You know, like we learn so much, which we can put in the category of a good or bad. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Either way, it's an opportunity to learn and really understand you.
Yeah.
On a deep level.
I was with my friend this weekend, and like, I would just say things to her. They were compliments, and she'd be like, oh, you're so sweet. And I'm like, I'm just being truthful, you know? And it's hard for me sometimes to recognize that I'm being nice or sweet, because to me, I'm just being honest, you know? And I'm like, I want this person to understand what I'm seeing, so I express it, but they're receiving it as like, I'm a really sweet person. And sometimes I question if I'm a really sweet person or not. Because from my lens, I think I'm just being honest and trying to let them know, like, here's why you're great.
But how beautiful is that too, though? Because sometimes we don't see those things in ourselves. And so we think like, oh, you're being nice. But it's like, no, someone is reflecting and showing you like you really are whatever it is that you said.
Yeah. And so, like I learned that people perceive me as a really nice, sweet person. And maybe I'm not giving myself that credit for that, you know, so we can start to really learn more about ourselves and maybe see ourselves from a better light too. Cause again, probably one of our worst relationships is that with ourselves until we're really working on it, and shifting how we perceive people's perception of us could really start to nurture our own relationship with self.
Well, it's kind of like you said, it's a back and forth, right? Because there's this internalized aspect of observing yourself, your own thoughts, your own perceptions that we spoke about the last few weeks, this internal thing, and then recognizing how your own projections, how they are contributing to the relationships that we have. It reminds me of like a sonar, right? Like we are constantly like bouncing back and forth information to each other, or like playing catch back and forth. Like, you know what? I'm going to fill this ball with some sweetness and compliments. I'm tossing it over to you and you catch it. And then what do you do with it? And then you toss it back to me. Like we're constantly doing that with each other. But a lot of times we don't like engage with the part that we're playing. We only like pay attention to like, you know, the toss back to us, like, oh, how dare you?
Yeah. I think we were just totally telepathically connecting on that, because I was seeing a similar image about how, like, you know, we're talking about energy and relationships. The energy we put out is the energy we're going to get back. And if you're putting out energy of not seeing yourself clearly, or not seeing clearly what it is you want to achieve in the relationship, then we're not really seeing that we're going to get that back too, you know? So being responsible for what it is you're putting out, and knowing that what comes back is a perception of the person on the other side, and that we have to work with these energies and really start to understand how we communicate. Like, what is your sonar? What's my sonar? And are they on the same frequency? And is it getting the message across that we wanted to get across?
Well, that's a really good point. It reminds me of a client recently was talking about how she always catches herself, like, you know, she says things and she intends it to come across one way, but people are often offended by what she says, but she doesn't mean to offend. And that's another good thing to look at in relationships, are like not just the patterns we recognize from our own lens, but recognize the patterns of like what other people may say or view of us. If it's like a consistent theme, like people are consistently offended by you, if you're consistently taken the wrong way or misunderstood, if you're consistently thought of as the sweet one, whatever it may be, if it's a pattern or a repetitive message you get from more than one person, that's also something to observe, especially if it's not what you intend. Again, it brings you back into, well, then how are you projecting? How are you relating to others? Because something is getting lost in translation, and you're the common denominator.
That's a really, really great point. And the flip side of that too, I think that is important to investigate, is if people are perceiving you as this thing that is loving, sweet, perfect, kind, like all the positives, but you feel bad inside, you know, it's probably along the lines of people pleasing. But that's to be investigated also, because that's negating or neglecting the relationship with yourself.
That reminds me of two things. One, a lot of what people post and share on social media, you know, a lot of us will recognize that people are posting only like the fun, like, woo, but not what goes on in the background. But then on the other side, it's not like, who wants to see a bunch of like sad stuff pop up?
Right.
I mean, I get why people do it.
Right.
But it also reminds me of when I first started my podcast, I would get these emails from people that I was aware that there was this perception that I was like totally like zenned out on a mushroom, like meditating every day. Like, I was just like, you know, and I had to start saying out loud, like telling people, like, no, like some days I feel like crap and I'm going through this too. And, you know, and I realized it was because of what I was talking about. People had this perception that I was always okay. And I was like, oh no, like clearly then I have to share these other aspects so that there's not this misconception about like what's going on over here, because honey, but that's the whole thing, is like we hold the key to a lot of what people perceive and see in us. It's what we choose to show, and we don't always show all our cards.
So what I'm hearing is authenticity in relationships.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge word for the energy that's created in relationships, you know, and being authentic and vulnerable.
That's
so that
a scary one for people.
It's very scary, because not only because you're exposing yourself to somebody else, but you're exposing yourself to yourself.
Yeah.
Brings us back to the point.
Ooh, that's deep, honey.
I know. Sorry. I went there. and that brings us back to taking on responsibility of understanding our own energy and what we do with that, and how powerful we are when we put that out into the world. Don't ever underestimate the power of your own personal energy. We are all of the same impact, whether we want to recognize it or not.
Yeah.
We're so impactful and we all share it. It doesn't matter if you're Beyonce and Jay-Z or you're some unknown person just getting by in the world. We all have that same impact and capacity of our energetic beings.
But something is bringing me back to what you said earlier about pleasing, mm-hmm. and how a lot of times the way we relate to others is based on that echo we want to get back. So it's not necessarily based on what's truly coming up for us or what is like even a true reflection of who we are, as much as a lot of times we show or put out there based on what we want to be perceived or what we want to get back. Like, I'm going to be so kind and pleasing to you because I want you to like me. And maybe I think if I show up in my authenticity, that might not be enough. That might not be good enough. And maybe you won't like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even that, like checking to see like what's your motivation and what it is that you show and how you relate to others. Is it coming from a space of I'm doing this because I want to be received in a particular way? Or do you feel like you're enough?
That's deep too, because I think within that we find a lot of contradictions,
mm-hmm.
and then we don't know what to do with contradictions right. of ourselves.
Welcome to human.
I know. We're innately contradictory.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting thing. And there's that part of us, of course, like we want to be kind and helpful. And sometimes it's just because we want to be supportive of another person or help people to feel like they are seen and heard and supported and loved and cared for. And that's a beautiful thing. But there's also that part where it is a fine line of like, am I being authentic? Like, am I? Because mm-hmm. it really does speak to, again, that relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. How we show up in our relationship with the world around us speaks so much, again, to how we perceive and relate to ourselves. And that is the key to all of it. Because once you do come into that relationship with you and you start to recognize your hurt and the stories you hold and all of the things we've talked about weeks before, go back to the archives, it does start to shift how you experience your life as a whole.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the idea is coming up and I'm having a hard time getting it fully to fruition, but it has something to do with what you were saying. We put out what we want to get back.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, we have this deep desire of yearning to have this connectedness or these relationships, but yet we're showing up very blocked off for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that energy that we're putting out, that it's like we open the door and we shove the energy we want out and then we close it so that it can't come back.
But then I think too, there's that fear of rejection, right? So we have a fear of rejection, but then there's also that worthiness that comes in again. Like, I'm going to close the door real tight because if I don't get back what I want, I'm not going to be hurt. So let me protect myself because, you know.
We are so complicated.
But it's interesting once we actually start to look at, like, really get in front of that mirror and go like, well, why do I do these things?
Yeah.
Why am I behaving this way? It's interesting, really.
Right. And I think that's the key right there. You just said it, like looking in the mirror and being open to accepting whatever it is, because the reality is we're here to learn. And if we don't put ourselves out there, and when I say put ourselves out there, I mean put ourselves out there to ourselves to really understand what it is that's happening in our experience and being mindful, then we're not going to be able, we're not going to experience the richness of all the opportunities we have to experience this.
It just popped in my head because I was thinking about the what we just said on the Patreon about, and we talked about it publicly before too, how we have this natural want to match frequencies and we want to, you know, this need or feeling to be agreeable or to be validated or to, you know, like we want to match the same wavelength or else we're uncomfortable if those things aren't aligned. And we are communal and we're connected and all of these things. But I think that core resonance of what that sameness is like, it reminds me of the whole namaste thing, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, if I recognize that you and I are connected regardless of our points of view, that you and I have this underlying connectivity of love for each other, regardless of what's going on in our minds and our perceptions, we're already relating. Like we're already relating to each other just yeah. because we are of that same energy. We're of the same source. Like we can't not relate to each other. We relate, period.
Right.
Okay. So now that we got that covered, we're related. Now I think it also creates more of a like, oh, okay. So now I can just like be my own expression and you can be yours. And we can learn and grow in this exchange without trying so hard to relate in a way that's already like, it's a given.
Yeah. That's
sense.
Totally. 100%. And I'm thinking about, as you're saying that, it makes me think of like separation. We want to separate ourselves from people so that we can mm-hmm. say, oh, I'm not like them. And yeah. then that's what creates the wall and the resistance. Like I am not like them, but you are. Mm-hmm. And because you're not like them, then we close off that relationship for whatever reason. And we lose the opportunity of learning for ourselves. We lose the opportunity of helping that person relate to us and to the greater essence of humanity. And yeah. we do, I think that's something that we're not taught. And I mean, to some degree, I guess religions do teach it that we are one, we are connected, but even within, I mean, it's taught in spirituality, but even within religions, there's segregation too, you know, like you're not like me, I'm not like you.
May be why we like flock to seeking commonality externally, because yeah. we do want that relatability. So it's like, you know, we look for people that have the same interest as us. We look for people who look like us. We look for people like we look for all of these qualities of sameness, but they're all external. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we're often left disappointed in that yeah. whole shebang. But like, really, it's like if we really did all kind of like tune in to that quality, that sameness that just is within us, within a tree, within a cat and a dog, like,
yeah,
like we wouldn't have that, maybe that craving to have to try to relate so much.
I hear you. It's that what you're explaining to me seems like a symptom of our humanness
yeah.
versus what our spirit knows. So our right. spirit knows that we're all connected, but our humanness, because we're trying to
find that connection.
Yeah. We're trying to understand this experience. So we're seeking that connection and we seek it through cultures, through people who look like us, through love relationships. We're always seeking that connection. And that's part of the driving force of our experience, right? Is to seek connection and relationship. But the secret is we're already all related because we're all that one piece of perfection.
It's reminding me of that's actually the thing about Reiki. I think that was mind blowing for me, because initially, like, and even meditation, like we hear about these practices and they seem very externalized in a lot of ways. Like, oh, I'm going to learn how to balance energy for someone else. I'm going to learn how to do these things, whatever. But as you practice and you do have those moments of like you experience connectivity, you experience like that being beyond just this body. Like even yeah. when you do distance sessions, that really you're recognizing there is no distance between you and the other person. Like you recognize, you experience that like, whoa, like I'm really connected to this other person who's not in the physical same location as me. Like those, you get these glimpses of what that really means, that we really aren't separated. And I think that, I think even that awareness of in of itself changes the nature of how we relate to other people and the world around us.
Totally.
Everyone go take a Reiki class.
Seriously. And we're not just saying that because that's our thing.
Right.
But like, I was just thinking too, as you're saying that, there's been at least 2 to 3 people who maybe my ego or perception had judged them one way or another, or my defenses were up because, you know, I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, we're totally different, you know? And then they sought me out for Reiki and I did it. And I peered into that, which was the sameness of us, and into their insecurities and into like their own humanity struggle. And I wasn't looking for it. You know, I didn't know these people. I just had like, you know, first impressions or second impressions of them that I was like, oh, we're not going to get along, you know? And then they come to me for this and I'm like, I'm shown a whole nother thing. And I'm like, whoa,
beyond your ego, like beyond your ego.
Yes, right. Beyond my ego, and also like the relatability of like, oh, you're struggling with your human experience too.
Right.
It was very, very profound.
You just reminded me of one of my teachers, and I don't remember which one, told me that when you do Reiki, like it's oftentimes like you fall in love with everyone who comes and like gets on the table, and not in love, like in a romantic way, but like this profound like awareness of like, wow, like we are the same. Like I can relate to you. We tap into that relatability.
Yeah.
Seeing people beneath their surface. But now as we're having this discussion, it's like, I think it does that simultaneous like illumination of like really recognizing that light in them and feeling it in yourself at the same time. Like this thing that we always talk about, you literally get to experience it. And
thing that is talked about.
This is what we were going to talk
about. I know. I was thinking a little earlier. I was like, wow, this is not the direction I thought it was going to go in, but this is cool. It is. I mean, obviously yoga is my thing, and in classes all the time, and in, you know, Instagram followings, they're always quoting people of like, the light in me sees the light in you. And I feel like it does feel like it's taken very lightly oftentimes, because it becomes this like thing that's printed on t-shirts, and it's barely explored in a yoga class for that 60 or 90 minutes. And then once you leave it, like you totally freaking forget it. But Reiki has really forced me, and willingly, to really understand what that means. And I don't remember it all the time. I'm going to be straight up with that. But I mean, putting it into practice the way I've been fortunate enough to, because my path has led me in this direction, it's very profound.
Yeah. And I think it's because like, if we hear that, like the light in me recognizes the light in you, like for me, what comes up is like, I'm making the conscious choice to be respectful of you, to look at you as another loving being, like, but it's all like this, like a mind experiment. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm deciding that you are also of light. Like I'm seeing that in you. Am I really? No, like I'm telling myself that must be true, but it's different when you actually, yes, you have that experience of it, and it's beyond a thought. It's like literally like this sensation, like it's an experience of like, how is this even real? Like how, like this is strange. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's really, and again, just like you said, I mean, it's not like, I mean, it would be nice to sustain that 24 hours a day, but we do often click back into another state of consciousness of, you know, just being here and grounded and interacting and relating to people on a different level than relating to someone purely energetically. I mean, it's a different state of experience.
And in that, like you were, as you're saying, really experiencing the feeling of it versus just what the words are, I think that's one huge hurdle to get past, to really start to understand it in your physical form, like beyond what the mind is going to create the rationality for, or like the science for, or like the teachings of somebody else telling you what that means. Like that's one huge obstacle to get past, is to really sit and let it assimilate into your own experience. And part of that, one of the barriers, I think, to that, even there's a barrier in front of that obstacle, even, which is the light in me sees the light in you. Well, what if I don't see my light? What if I don't understand?
Hello, tell them to me.
And that brings us back to when we were talking about the relationship with self.
Yep. And that's why even like, and we understand, like these things can sound so like, give me a break. But that's why you have to give yourself the experience to move past that. Like I think of how many times, like in meditation, at first it was a challenging because I was trying to meditate. Like I was trying to do something right. And it was finally when I recognized like how to let go, how to melt and just freaking sit there. Like I wasn't really trying anything. And you start having these really interesting, like I remember at first my body would sway involuntarily and like all these like strange things would happen. And I mean, again, it's like it pulls you into this like recognition of what in the hell, like what is up with my design that literally something is causing my body to like pulsate and move in a way that my, like, I'm not telling my body to do this, you know? So yeah, I mean, all of these practices and tools that we have to kind of unlock ourselves and like really get to experience our design are just, yeah, this is not where I thought this conversation would go.
I know, but it's so good. It's so good. But this is also interesting to see too, how such a, what seemed like a crystal clear topic.
Yeah.
Is there's so much more to it, and there's so much more to us, and there's so much more to just relationships, and there's so much more to energy.
Yeah.
But coming back to what you're saying about just being okay with what we're experiencing, it's getting in line with our relationship with ourself, and also in line with what it means to be all that we are, because again, our minds will come back in and be like, oh my God, why am I convulsing in this meditation or swaying? And then we start to judge it, and we're saying, you know, we start to say this isn't right, or it's, we put a label on what we think it might be rather than just sitting in the experience. So it's kind of the same when we get into relationships. Like, even when you start out dating or you've been in a long-term relationship, we'll just use romantic relationships because they seem to cause the most acute awareness of the experience. Mm-hmm. We start to get to a point where it's like, oh, well, now it's time to maybe put this label on it, but I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what I'm feeling, and it's not matching up with labels. You know, we find ourselves in this conundrum or this strife of trying to understand the experience, which takes us completely out of the experience in and of itself.
Well, one of the things too, I mean, like what you're saying, it reminds me of, because in the beginning when I was saying sometimes what we feel we're like seeking or we feel we're lacking, we look to fill that void through another person or these things. One of the things about it in doing the self-work, what it really highlighted for me in that vein is even like our criticism or judgment or wanting to change someone else. So how many times like we get into relationships and people may have ways of doing things or ways of being that challenge us and we don't like it. And so we feel like, let me help them. But it's totally based on our perspective of what we think they should be or who we think they should be. And it's like, what? Like, that's, it really, it highlights for you how much we try to control and how much we think we're right in how things should be expressed, instead of respecting that that person is their own unique expression of that same divine force, that same, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, we all support each other and we do this echo back and forth and we highlight things for each other. But ultimately it comes down to respecting another person's choice of navigation and being, just like you have that same freedom of choice in being. I think that's one of the things that's highlighted for me in relationship is really recognizing where it's my ego of wanting to change and control rather than respecting where someone is and what or who they are. And then also that brings in, instead of trying to change someone, just coming into the honesty of, like, who do I think I am? And is this what I want to be in? Because that's really what the truth is. Instead of trying to, like, alter somebody else, like, do I need to work on something in me? Maybe I don't want to be here. I don't know. Whatever it may be. But it does show how much we try to, honey, because we try it, don't we?
We do. Yeah. But, and I think what question that might be coming up in some of the listeners is that, well, okay, I'm in a relationship with this person. They do need help. They have a drug addiction or they have like something else that they can't seem to get out of. So it gets confusing because it's like, well, where is the line of me actually helping this person that I care about or just moving on with my life and letting them deal with it? You know, they're making choices in their experience and they seem to be bad choices.
Yeah, but anybody who's experienced trying to force an addict, so to speak, like just for this example's sake, will tell you it probably didn't pan out. And even if you tried to force someone into treatment or force someone into whatever, they probably relapsed or they probably just resisted whatever. So, I mean, I think a lot of times in our attempts to control or help or whatever we call it, like in relationship, a lot of it is, of course, well-intended and we care about people and we want to help and support people. But the truth is there's still that they're going to do it in their own timing. Like,
yeah,
we can try our best sometimes and it doesn't I mean, a person is only going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
I mean, anybody can tell you, like, you try to force a whole lot of things. People try to force and mold their kid to be who they think their kid should be. And their kids end up being someone totally different because they have their own spirit.
Right.
They have their own minds and they have their own, you know, like,
yeah.
Influence each other, and we again support each other, and we can show up for each other in so many ways. But
and that's kind of where I was heading with that example, is that we can't force any change. And it could get confusing because sometimes you're like, oh, this person needs the help, like they absolutely need it, they can't do it on their own. So it's that dicey place between, like, you can't force anybody to do anything, but you also don't want to leave them to their own devices because it's a scary place. And I think to me, what I've experienced and what I think is the direction to head in, not saying this is absolute, but I think that leading by example, you know, if we start to show the way it could be, that then we could start to influence people, you know. But leading by example forces us to look at our stuff, and I think sometimes we try to control things because we don't want to look at us. Yeah. And in order to create that influence, like, we have to be the leader and be responsible for our own energy and how we are expressing in the relationship.
And a lot of times too, it comes to recognizing that sometimes it's like how we go about things. So say, for example, it's something extreme, like someone who's an addict. Us as not, like, most people aren't trained in how to deal with that. Right. And so instead of trying to force your way on someone, you may need to seek help, a professional that actually knows how to handle that with more care and more direction, right? Mm-hmm. So even recognizing when certain things are out of our control or out of our hands or maybe better suited to go another way that's beyond what we want. Like, we just get so caught up sometimes in, like, why doesn't that person think like me? Like, why don't they see the way that I do? Yeah. What I would do? How many times do we say, well, what I would do? Yeah, right. That's great for you. That's clearly not working for Bob. So, like, you know, like, I think a lot of times we have to consider that, you know, being in relationship for others, there is going to be that fine line. And sometimes it is an awkward dance of how much do I try or push and how much do I step back? But honestly, I mean, that gets into the complexities of the nature of the relationship, who mm-hmm. we even are in our own personalities, like, but in all of it, no matter where you are, you still have that opportunity to look at you and how you are showing up.
Yeah. And I think that's a really great point, that we do, we want to push the way we think on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that, see, I've recognized that as a huge tripping point in relationships, putting what the lens of what we think, I think this way, they should think that way too, or I can't understand why they don't think that way.
Honey, that has been the struggle of my life.
Me too. But it's getting outside of ourselves too, and allowing for, as we previously tackled the topic of perspective, allowing an understanding of what it means to have different perspectives and to open yourself up to seeing a different perspective. I think that's a huge blockade in a lot of relationships. And we get stuck at a point sometimes where we just, like, we think we're all together, and then all of a sudden you hit this divergence in the road where it's like, they think this way, I think this way. And rather than seeing, I mean, I think this, we talked about this earlier too, rather than seeing what the difference is, we're just like, oh, well, this is never going to work out. And right. If we keep thinking that way, nothing's ever going to work out, because relationships aren't trying to find this puzzle piece to your soul. You already are, there's no voids in your soul or your experience to plug a puzzle piece into. You're just looking for something to complement, or something to teach you. It's something to experience.
I love that. That's so true and so beautiful. And you just reminded me of something with what you said. It was something that you said earlier. I don't know, it completely left my mind now. But yeah, I mean, as we've covered today, and thank goodness we're going to have another talk on this.
I know.
People can join in with us on the discussion. But relationships are so interesting. They can be complex, but there are such beautiful gifts that help us to learn so much about ourselves and to allow us to participate in that exchange of give and take, and what it means to be vulnerable, and what it means to, like, you know, be support and to be supported. It just, it gives us so many opportunities to grow in various yeah. ways and from all different lenses. And
I don't know that there's anything else we would grow or experience from, really.
No.
Right? I mean, if you're on a desert island all by yourself, and a desert island, is that a desert on an island?
Deserted. Got That's you.
It could be a desert on a deserted island. That would be awful. I would perish. I was just in the desert in Arizona, and I would perish.
It's all pretty.
But really, I mean, we could learn from nature. We could learn from cycles and stuff, but it's not going to, I mean, that would be a very rich undertaking of experience and knowledge that we would gain. But how much do we learn? How enriching is what we learn from relationships? You know, I think sometimes we see them as very daunting and, you know, how many times have I been, I've been perpetually single for the most part of my life. And most of my friends are like, who are married or in relationships, not most of them, but I've heard a good chunk of people who are like, it's not that glamorous on this side. And I'm like, I get it. But still, you know, like it's a perspective of how we see things, but they can be daunting because there's so much that it drums up for us in the experience and that we do have to be malleable with.
Well, it reminds me of, again, like knowing that there's like that core underneath connection that we're already not alone. We're already connected beneath the surface. Like how beautiful that we have so much diversity, whether it is in what we look like, our cultures, our ideas, our thoughts, like it really lends to so much fun and like ahas and like awe and wonder in this world because of how different we all are. And I think the beauty in relationships, friendships, every single kind, like God knows I love like good chats with my friends. Like that's everything to me.
Yeah.
But that's what like these differences in thoughts and points of view are what actually like cause that expansion in our own minds and like us, you know, expanding our own limited views and like living into new possibility and awareness, like sharing like this, like we do, and people sharing back with us. It just keeps expanding. Mm-hmm.
Lord, it makes me think of people who say they love traveling so much. Like, who doesn't love to travel? My dad doesn't love to travel.
I don't love to travel. Thing.
You don't?
I love going to different destinations. I don't like the process of like
air. Oh, yeah. No, that's awful.
Yeah. But once I get there.
Right. So the traveling that I'm speaking of is like getting yourself into a different culture, getting yourself into a different experience, you know? Mm-hmm. Relationships are kind of the same thing. It's putting yourself into a new, people love traveling to different places because you're learning all of this new stuff that you wouldn't somehow else. And relationships are the same thing. You know, even if you're traveling and something doesn't really line up with you or something terrible happens, I've had this experience too, but those are some of my best freaking stories. I'll tell you what, you know, so even relationships, we might see like toxic ones or ones that are bad. Like there's still so much to learn and to gain from them. And, you know, I'm just seeing that as a metaphor.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing that you point out because it helps people let go of regret. Like sometimes if we had some relationships that were horrible or toxic or whatever they may have been. And then on the other side, even if we've gotten out of them, we may think like, oh, I can't believe I dealt with that. I can't believe but instead of beating yourself up about it, look at where you are now. Like you have probably learned a lot. You probably grew a lot. And so there is this value of like how you have strengthened it and gone deeper into like maybe now you are more focused on taking care of you and honoring you and using your voice and all of these things. Like that may have been a catalyst for you to move into like a new aspect of your own power and worth and value. Mm-hmm. So don't like regret the tough relationships and challenges that we've had because often those are the ones that have taught us the most.
Right.
I mean, don't go looking for them.
But should they come across your path, be mindful and notice it. And that brings us circles back to when we're saying, you know, I always pick the same person and they always do this to me. Well, it's like, yeah, because it will keep showing up. And if you're mindful about the circumstances and not remorseful for what you experienced, I think that's part of it too. When we start to have the regret of doing something, it's almost kind of like we draw it back into some degree, you know, because we haven't seen the beauty in what that was. and instead
we may not have facilitated the change.
Right.
That would,
yeah.
Like, you know, shift that from being a lesson for us to learn or a pattern to illuminate for ourselves. That's what right. One thing with this work. I mean, along the years, I got to a point where I always was like, okay, I don't want this lesson again. So whatever it is, let me look at what I'm learning. Let me look at what maybe I'm holding on to, what I'm resisting, so I can get out of this cycle. Uh-huh. Like that became like one of my things. Like I, if it's uncomfortable, let me like really look at me and what choice I'm making and how I'm playing into this, because I don't want this lesson again. I don't need it. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on.
Which can be scary because it forces us into a place of discomfort, right? Because it'll force us into something unknown that we haven't experienced, which could be exciting, but a lot of times it's uncomfortable. But the thing with discomfort is that that's where the growth happens. There's
if you're
no
on this
growth
path,
in comfort.
You might as well get over being mad about being uncomfortable.
Seriously, just stop resisting it.
Like, yeah,
it's going to be uncomfortable.
Like, get over it. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know what? This moment, this patch, this
yeah.
current space I'm in is uncomfortable, but I'm working through something to get out to the other side. Because,
and the more we grasp onto that feeling of discomfort and being uncomfortable, the more energy we put into that, like, oh, I'm uncomfortable, I'm insecure, I'm this, I'm that. Like, it's just going to boil over. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to find any comfort in heightening your discomfort.
Look at, we've gone down a whole nother rabbit hole. And unlike the last video, you have maintained your composure. Welcome back, Tiffany. Welcome back.
No body snatchers around here today.
Yeah, not today. So we are coming up on the hour though. So we do want to make sure that hopefully there have been some things that have come up with you around this conversation, your own insights and thoughts about relationships, how you relate to yourself, how you relate to others, everything in between. And then join us next Wednesday so that we can talk about it, have some group discussion around it.
Right. Nice and live. You could see me have maybe spontaneous meltdowns on the live feed. Which
it really was the best. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. It was the best thing
I know.
That happened.
That was a good laugh. That was one of the best laughs I've seen you engage in. And I've seen a lot of laughing from her, but that was... Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't breathe, tears in the eyes. So we thank you always for being here, for showing
supporting.
Up for the Mind, Body, Energy podcast.
Uh-huh. And you're showing up supports it. And the more support we have, the more we move forward with expanding all of this goodness.
Yes, keep sharing. If you have any friends or family that you think would enjoy this information, share it with them. Mm-hmm. Just copy the link to the podcast, text it to them. If you're on Facebook, copy the link, share it on your page.
Have them over for dinner, just play it in the background.
Yeah.
Don't give them a choice.
Carpool to work, listen to the Mind project.
I like it.
So many ways to share the love.
Mm-hmm.
And what else were we going to say? That's it. That's it for our relationship talk today. We'll be back to explore this in more ways next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed that episode of Mind Body Energy Project here on Reiki Radio, all about relationships. Again, you are invited to join us this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern to exchange with us, to share your thoughts and insights about this relationship energy. And you can get more information at mbeproject.com. That's mbeproject.com. And we would love to meet you and learn more about you. Another thing I want to remind you of is if you go to yuchi.com, which is my website, yewchi.com, and sign up for the newsletter, you will get more information about the energy of this month, as well as free access to 22 days of transformation. So that is all for now. I will see you next week here on Reiki Radio. Remember to always journey in love.